A Dedicated Man by Peter Robinson. Read by Neil Pearson. When the sun rose high enough to clear the slate roofs on the other side of the street, it crept through a chink in Sally Lum's curtains and lit on a strand of gold blonde hair that curled over her cheek. She was dreaming. But her dreams had nothing to do with the other kind, the important ones that she didn't have to fall asleep to find. In those dreams, she passed her school exams and was accepted into the Marion Boyers Academy of Theatre Arts, where besides acting, she studied modelling and cosmetic technique. For Sally was realistic enough to know that if she lacked the dramatic talent of a Gwyneth Paltrow, she could at least belong to the fringes of the world of glamour. When, finally, Sally stirred that Sunday morning, she could hear plates and cutlery clattering in the kitchen downstairs, and the rich smell of roast beef was wafting up to her room. She got up and stared at herself in the full-length mirror of her old oak wardrobe. On the whole, she had a good body, she decided. There was still a little puppy fat around her hips and thighs, but her breasts were perfect. Last night, Kevin had caressed them and told her they were. And last night, they'd almost gone all the way. Soon they would. Sally knew that. Kevin was good. He knew how to excite her. She drew back the curtains to a perfect Swainsdale morning. She looked up the broad valley side to the long, sheer limestone wall of Crow Scar. Then she noticed something very odd, and she frowned. Spread out along the slope, just above the old road, five or six blue dots seemed to be moving in some kind of pattern. Detective Chief Inspector Alan Banks drove his white Cortina west from Eastvale along the valley bottom by the River Swain. With one eye on the road and one hand on the wheel, he flipped through the untidy pile of cassettes on the passenger seat. He selected one, Ian Partridge singing Dowland, and slipped it into the deck. Ahead, he could see Crow Scar, and as he drew closer, he noticed the local police searching a field which was marked off by irregular dry stone walls. But to get to the scene, he first had to drive through Helmthorpe, Swainsdale's central market village, then turn right onto a narrow road that meandered up the valley side. That this track had ever been tarmacked was, he guessed, probably a gesture toward the increasing tourism of the area. Being more used to the city than the countryside, he scraped his knee climbing a low wall and stumbled over the lumpy field until, finally, out of breath, he got to where a uniformed man, presumably Weaver, the local constable, stood talking to a gnarled old farmer. By the side of the north-south wall, loosely covered with earth and stones, lay a man's body. Banks could see that the hair at the back of the head was matted with blood, and a jolt of nausea shot through his stomach. "Anything been disturbed?" he said. "Not much, sir." The young constable's face was white, and the sour smell on his breath indicated that he'd probably been sick. Natural enough, Banks thought. Probably the lad's first corpse. Weaver gestured towards the whiskered farmer. "Mr. Tavistock here says he moved the stones around the head."
"I were looking for one of my sheep," said Tavistock, "and I saw that damage to wall. Thought there'd been a collapse."
He rubbed his grisly chin.
"Shouldn't have been no collapse, though. Been there since 1830, that wall has. Any road, my old dog Ben started scratting, and first I thought nowt on it, but then..."
He shrugged, as if there was nothing more to be said. Sally slammed down her knife and fork.
"Just because I go for a walk with a boy doesn't mean I'm a trollop."
"Sally," said Mrs. Lum, "stop shouting at your father. That wasn't what he meant, and you know it."
Sally continued to glare.
"Well, that's what it sounded like. He was only trying to warn you. Boys tried to take advantage. But you don't have to treat me like I'm a baby. I'm 16 now."
"Aye," said Mr. Lum, "and you'll do as you're told till you're 18. That's the law."
After a few minutes sulking, Sally decided to change the subject. "Have you seen those men on the hill?"
"They look like policemen,